Good morning, everyone. It's always good because it's half term, so you get a bit relaxed and refreshed before you face a reality on Monday. But before that happens, we've got God's word. So we're not rushing out today. So you're here till 2 p.m. today. So just get ready because we're going to spend a long time. Today I'm talking about Elijah, a man like us. Elijah, a man like us. We are constantly on a stretch, if not on a strain, to devise new methods, new plans, new organizations to advance the church and secure enlargement. The trend of today has a tendency to lose sight of the man, or sink the man in the plan or organization. God's plan is to make much of the man. Far more of him than anything else. Men are God's method. The church is looking for better methods, but God is looking for better men. When I was growing up, that was one of the first few books I picked up on prayer by a man called A.M. Bounds, the Apostle of Prayer. And I just want to start with that. Now, if you're in this place this morning and you feel a struggle to pray, or you sometimes try to find the right words to use, if you have always struggled to pray, or you feel like, what's the point in praying? Sometimes you ask yourself, would God really answer my prayer? Why does it seem that God always answers on people's prayer? I mean, this morning, Deb came forward and shared a story that she got prayed by somebody, and something happened. And then, on another occasion, you've had people pray, and it seems like nothing happened. And then you're forced to ask, why? Why is it that sometimes it feels like God answers some prayers and sometimes you feel like it doesn't? And sometimes you ask yourself, what's the point praying anyway? If God is suffering, why pray? If God decides all he does, what's the point in we praying then? God is suffering. He does what he wills. The Bible says that our God is in heaven and he does what he pleases. So if God does what he pleases, what's the point of praying then? Why should we pray when it's a foregone conclusion? If you know the outcome, then what's the point trying to try and change it? When we pray, do we change things? Let Elijah speak to us this morning. And my text is in James chapter 5. Just two verses. Verses 17 and 18. Elijah was a human being like us. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain. And the land produced its fruit. What manner of man held the rain and released the rain at his words? Elijah is such a prophet in the whole Testament. I mean, if you have time to read 1 Corinthians 7 to 2 Corinthians, 1 Kings 17 to about 2 Kings 1, you will find unbelievable stories about Elijah. I mean, this guy ran past a chariot, elected. This guy was famous for calling down fire on the mountain. There were 450 prophets of Baal. And he said, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all of a sudden, he prayed to God and fire came from heaven. His name is called God, is Yahweh. In fact, even today, do you know, and now this was during my study, interesting to find. You know, actually, in Israel today, you still find people during a certain festival, they have a chair for Elijah. Because there's this belief that Elijah is still coming. But Jesus ended that argument when he spoke about Elijah. In Matthew 17, 12 to 14, 13, Jesus said, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him. But I've done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at the hands of evil men. Then the disciples understood that they were speaking to them about John the Baptist. In Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 11, 7 to 10, as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. He said, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. But what exactly did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, I'm much more than a prophet. This is the one about whom is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before. So we see that actually Elijah had come, and that Elijah was actually in the likeness of John the Baptist. So when John the Baptist was here, actually, it was the spirit of Elijah that came back. So we see this guy that did great things. In fact, in scriptures, Elijah was the first man to raise the dead. He was the first man to raise the dead in the whole Testament. But James reminded us, Elijah was a man. Now, that just got me. That in spite of all these things that this man has done, he is actually a human being. I mean, sometimes when you think about people that have died and then when you meet them in heaven, I mean, Elijah will be one of those people I would really want to meet. Now, how did you do that? How were you able to run past a chariot? How does it feel like that? You know, Elijah never died. The Bible says he was carried in a wild way into heaven. I mean, that would be amazing, isn't it? You just like, boom, there you go. I mean, this guy is just phenomenal. But there was something about him. Elijah was a man. And that must not be lost on us this morning. That God is always looking for ordinary men to do his work. There is nothing special about Elijah other than Elijah was a man. James' choice of word is significant. Okay, it uses a word that can be translated as human. This indicates Elijah was just a man of flesh and blood, subject to gravity, aging, not the need for food and rest. He could get annoyed. He was a human being and liable to the same passions as we are. James' reflection on Elijah's story shows that beyond the deep spiritual things Elijah did, he was still a human being. And this same phrase that James used was the same phrase that Paul was referenced when they did something and said, no, we are just men, just like you. God uses men who yield to him. And there are three things I want to quickly bring out this morning. And then the first one is that God uses simple men. I just want to look at the humanity of Elijah, because if you look at James 5, it just talks about Elijah was a man and he prayed. But if you go back to 1 Kings, it begins to unravel, actually, who is this man? Elijah was a simple but yet powerful man. It was a man that chose to pray to God. But beyond that, you could see that all through his journey, there were times he felt afraid. In 1 Kings 19, the Bible says that Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. And he even prayed the prayer that he might die. He said, I've had enough, oh God. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he laid down on the bush and fell asleep. And there are two occasions, he said, I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me. I am the only one left. and now they're trying to kill me. Now, this happened after the encounter on the mount, where it killed the 450 prophet of Baal, and then Jezebel said, God do so to me if I don't kill you the next day. And Elijah was so much afraid that he ran away. Elijah, a man that prayed, faced reproach, faced affliction, faced persecution, was labeled a troubler of Israel by Ahab, was hunted by Jezebel. It was more than after all. But yet, we saw a man who trusted God despite life difficulties. And I think that's the challenge this morning. That no matter what you're going through, no matter who you are, God always looks for men with weaknesses. There is nothing great about men that God has used in the past. Paul was Saul. He persecuted the church. And God found a killer and changed him for his glory. And I just want to urge us this morning that what God looks for in a man is a man that is willing to yield to him and say, God, here am I, use me. Elijah felt unappreciated, ignored, isolated, feeling alone. Lord, I'm the only one left. Look at me. What do I do? Do I run away? I don't know. But he kept trusting God. He kept trusting God. This was a man that did great things for God. But in the midst of this, he had his own struggles. And I just want to encourage us this morning that sometimes when we go through things in life, that should draw us closer to God, not away from him. Oftentimes when things happen, that's the most difficult time to pray. But that's the best time to pray. Because when we are facing challenges in our life, that's the best time to run to him, not to run away from him. We saw a man that despite all of life challenges, he trusted God. He believed God. He was a man just like us. And that should encourage us this morning. That no matter who we are, no matter what we're going through, that God always looks for simple men. Men that will say, Lord, here am I, use me. The Bible talks about Isaiah. It says Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, and there was a conversation. We said, who shall we send and who shall go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. So we see the true scripture that God uses simple men. Peter was a fisherman. In fact, in Acts Gospel, the Bible says that when the disciples were discussing, and they said they took knowledge that these were unlearned men. But there was something peculiar about Peter. He said he had been with Jesus. So we see that time and time and time again, God uses simple men. And I just want to encourage someone this morning. That you are before your master, you are before your God, and he knows you by name. And there is nothing that you're going through that he doesn't know. We have a relationship with our Father, and that should encourage us this morning, that we can call on him, that regardless of the frailties, regardless of the weaknesses, we have a God that desires to use men like us. But there was something about Elijah as well, you know, that I want to quickly bring up. Everything Elijah achieved, he did based on two key things. The Bible says that the word of the Lord came to him. We could see that there was a dependence on God's word. In 1 Kings 17, the Bible said the word of the Lord came to Elijah. In 1 Kings 18, verse 1, the Bible says, after a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. In 1 Kings 19, verse 9, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here? So everything that Elijah achieved, he achieved because there was a dependence on the word of the Lord. If you have time to go to 1 Kings, you will realize that before Elijah did something, the word of the Lord came to him. He never did anything without hearing from God. Everything he did, the Bible said, the word of God came to him. And he went in the strength of the word of the Lord. Friends, Colossians 3 verse 16 says, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. John 8, 32 says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There's something about the truth of God's word that when we know, we go in the strength of that word. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah. The first time he said there will be no rain. Do you know what happened in 1 Kings 17? The Bible said the word of God came to Elijah. Every time Elijah spoke, he spoke from the perspective of God's word. And that's the key thing for us today. That this is so powerful. This is so powerful. If we know this so well, it helps us in our journey in life. And the word of the Lord came. Ephesians 6 verse 17 says, Bible, take the element of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by the word. Elijah did nothing except at the word of the Lord. Friends, our prayer becomes effective when we understand what God is saying about it. There was nothing Elijah did without hearing from God. And so prayer becomes effective because we have heard from him. Last week, in the evening, we're looking at the Lord's Prayer. And the first thing that Jesus told us to do is that when you pray, say what? Our Father who is in heaven. So when we are praying to our Father, but we know what he wants from us. And so when we are praying, we are actually saying, Lord, what exactly do you want to do? You are our Father. We have a relationship with you. So we see that when Elijah prayed, he understood what God was saying. And in James 5, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its fruit. There was a dependence on prayer. A dependence on prayer. And I just want to call us this morning that if there are men to pray, there's a God to answer. Prayer is important. Prayer is vital. The Bible says pray without ceasing. The Bible says pray at all times. Luke 18 says men ought to pray and not to faint. Elijah depended on prayer. And if you check through Paul's journey, you realize that Paul kept praying. Ephesians 1, he prayed. Ephesians 3, he prayed. All through his epistles, he never ceased to pray. And I want to challenge us this morning that prayer works. Oh, prayer works. But prayer that is backed from the word of the Lord. So when we pray, we're not just praying, but we are praying because we know we have a relationship with God. In 1 John 3, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the sons of God. We are sons of God. So when we pray to our Father in heaven. So prayer is about sonship and the fatherhood of God. We have a relationship with the Father. So when we come to God in prayer, we're not just praying because we want to. We are praying because we are sons And we have a relationship with our Father in heaven. And so prayer is a communication. It's a family business. Because I have my Father who is in heaven. And I am a son. And so I have that relationship with my Father. And that's the reason why, if I look at it, my son, my daughter can come to me because we have a relationship. And that's who we have before our Father in heaven. I'm not just praying to God, I'm praying to Father. I'm not just crying out to God in heaven, I'm calling out to my Father. Now, that changes who we are. And when we pray, we're not praying just to God. We are praying to your Father in heaven. And if you check Jesus, when he said, when you pray, just shut the door. He said, the Father that sees you. You can see, he didn't say God. He said the Father, because he knows that when we are praying, it's a communication between Father and between Son. And so we have that communication when we pray. And Elijah did great things. He prayed that it would not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it never did. And then he prayed again. He prayed again. He prayed again. And something happened after 3 years, 6 months. What happened? There was rain. There was rain. There was rain. There was rain. Andrew Murray writes about the mystery of preserving prayer. He said, the God who promises blessings and trains us in patience, he withholds blessings temporarily to teach us that perseverance can prevail. In today's fast-paced Christianity, we hold great power in heaven when we commit ourselves to prayer. Famously, there was a man called John Knox that Mary, the Queen of Scots, repeatedly said that I fear the prayer of John Knox more than the hammers of Hiram. Because here was a man that went on his knees to pray. Here was a man that believed God regardless. Guys, all I've said so far is pointing to one thing. That there's a God that answers prayers. That there's a God that does great things when we pray. Ephesians 3, that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what we can ever ask or imagine. This is the confidence that we have in him. When we call, he hears us. And if he hears us, we know we have received that petition from him. What a joy to come before God. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. There is power in prayer. James 5, you check the Amplified Version. He said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. He said, make tremendous power available. God, there is power in prayer. It's a dynamo effect. When you start it, you don't see anything. When it keeps rolling and rolling and rolling, you see power. How? On the knees praying. Guys, battles are won on the knees. There's something more powerful than the strongest gun in the world. There is something more potent Do you know that, you know, because I'm a chemist, I know by fact that when I have a medication, there are bioactive compounds there. So when you take it into your body, it changes how your body works. That's what prayer does. It changes things. When you take those drugs into your body, you know without a shadow of a doubt that those things can change how your body works. The same thing when we pray, we know that there's a God that rules in the affairs of man. We know that we serve a God that is so powerful. That is why I believe with all of my heart that when somebody is sick, God is too big not to trust him to heal that person. If I can trust in men mortals, why can't I trust in the Almighty, the one that made the heavens and the earth? Why will I depend on a common man called the GP at the expense of my Almighty God? I go to doctors, but there's somebody greater, more powerful. And guess what? You know what Job said? He said, even though he slay me, yet I will trust him. I know there are people amongst us that are not feeling too well, but let me tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, I would believe God till the day I die. I would believe him. You know, the Bible says that these all died. If you check Hebrews 11, the Bible says these all died in faith, not having received the promise. They got to a point in their life that no matter what, let God be true, let all men be lies. I will trust God till my dying day. I don't care if I'm healed or not, but I will trust him till my dying day. A day will not go by without me trusting him all my life. That's what prayer does. It makes you know that there is nothing more powerful than going on your knees. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to pray to God. Do you know the joy? Do you know the privilege you have that God calls you to pray to him? He's sovereign. Say, yeah, do you know, there's nothing God can do without men. Men are God's method. God uses men to execute his counsel. And I sought for a man. Why is God always seeking for men? Because God uses men for his glory. You know why God uses men? John 1:12. He says, for as many that received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. We are sons of God, which means that we are the ones that have the ability to say, Father, we have come. Sons have come. There are some things you cannot do that my kid can do because we have a relationship. When they come, Daddy, I've come. So tonight, today, we're going to say, Lord, we come this morning. We come in your name. We have no power but thee, O God. There is nothing of ourselves other than you, O God. If there are people in our midst that are suffering, not feeling too well, they've got something to pray about, we're going to cry out to our Father this morning. Because there is great strength on the knees. Guys, leave this place today. Go, shut the door. That's what the Bible says. When was the last time you shut the door? When was the last time you just said, you know what, everyone just go away. I'm just going to shut the door. I'm going to do business with my Father. He is your Father. Why do you struggle to talk to him? Why? I don't get it, why people struggle to pray. Prayer does not have to be mechanical. It's a dialogue. Lord, oh, your son has come today. Oh, what a joy to come before you. Oh, dear Father. Oh, what a privilege. to commune with the divine. What a joy! What a joy to commune with the divine. And that's the joy of prayer. And Elijah showed us it was a man of like passion. He prayed earnestly. And I'm going to end with that. Prayer does not stop. Now, if you have time to go through 1 Kings, when the rain came back, do you know how many times Elijah had the servant to go and check? 7 times. The first time he prayed, there was nothing. The second time he prayed, there was nothing. The 7th time, the Bible says that he saw like the frame of a hand. And even at that, the rain had not come. But after the 7th time, he knew what God was saying. So if you have prayed before, we'll pray again. We can't be tired of praying. That's who we are. We keep praying. We keep going and going and going and going and going and going for it. If you've prayed before and you didn't heal, come again. We're going to pray for you. That's who we are. There is no other strength we have than to pray. If there are men to pray, there's a God to answer. If there's a God to answer, all I can do is to what? To pray to him. It's not about me. It's not about anyone. It's about him. I said, God, you said in your word that if we pray for this person will be healed. Lord, in your mighty name, do it, oh God. We believe with all of our heart. Do it, oh God. And we just cry with our heart. But when you pray, let your heart pray with it. Be honest. Be fervent about it. If you have to cry, cry. If you have to kneel, kneel. You know, Paul, if you look at Paul's prayer, he said, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That he will grant you according to the Spirit of his might to be granted with might by Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. This was a man that kept crying to God. I'm going to ask the band to come. I think we'll just take a song. And we have prayed, but we can never stop praying. The day we stop praying is the day we die. We keep praying. One of the prayers you can keep praying is, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done.